B-Pod Studios.
The radio and online home of Boston sports.
You don't play quite as hard.
You're the Boston Celtics right now.
Too many guys
like that
hurt your team.
That's why the talent is down.
98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5thesportshub.com.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned us.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Wow, what a meltdown was underway in that city. Oh, my goodness.
I kind of enjoyed it. Not going to lie, Old England. How's it going today?
I mean,
Bart Scott wants the whole draft taken away from the Patriots.
Of course.
I think it's a good
thing.
That's where you start.
He's playing to his audience.
Of course.
Nobody likes the Patriots. Yes.
Yes, because when the big giant goes down, which New England is, when the big giant goes down, everybody rejoices because how we were all treated along the way, along the climb to the top. And everybody else was spit on and dumped on and kicked in the face by the New England Patriots. And they were allowed to get away with Spygate and win Super Bowls, Deflategate and win Super Bowls, TB12gate and win Super Bowls. Like every step along the way, they were able to do things that skirted the rules and still find ways to get championships and to get Super Bowls. The one thing that Old England will always have and they will never be able to shake, they'll never be as good as New York. They will never be as good as New York City. No matter how hard they try, no matter how many sports championships they win, they know they will always be the little brother to New York City. And you know what that does? That grinds their gears so bad. And the best part about it is New York doesn't even really acknowledge Old England. They'll do on the sports field because you got to play each other in games and whatnot and things of that nature. But for all intents and purposes, everybody in New York knows they're better than Boston and doesn't give Boston the time of day. And so New York for, 250 years now has not really responded to Old England and it still grinds their gears. So when something like this happens, they immediately want to go and hear what New York's saying about them so they can get fired up. I hope they're listening to us this morning. There's a good chance they are because we're going to say the same thing. Ha, 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 ha. And we're going to dance around and celebrate because it's funny.
Wonderful.
For the rest of America, what happened on Friday to your owner is hysterical, and it's really, really good because now you're getting kind of a taste of payback for being jerks to everybody along the way. Ha, 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 ha. And you know what that does? That grinds your gears so bad.
Oh, my gears are being grinded at this very moment. It is 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And this morning, we, of course, are extremely lucky to have sitting in studio with us in place of the ailing Fred Toucher. He lost his voice yesterday, if you heard it.
I heard that, yeah.
It was very much a Harvey Fierstein-type situation. He headed home, and they said, you know what? Doctor goes, whatever you got going on, you might want to stay home for at least a day. And maybe two. Why don't you take the rest of the week out? And that way, you don't get everyone sick around you. But we, of course, extremely lucky to have Ted Johnson in the studio. Thanks for coming in again.
Hey, it's good to get out of the bullpen and come fill in for Fred. I'm happy to be here, boys. It's good to see you guys.
Well, good. All right, real quick.
Lots happened since the last time I've seen you.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, there's a ton to talk about this morning. First, let's just go to Dan real quick. Dan, line one. What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, man. Yeah, I was listening to that opening, and I'm just, like, laughing. I don't care about New York at all. It's got to be something to do with that Patriots games. We got those, you know, like those old Revolutionary War fighters with the guns, and they show them on TV, and it's like, what are you talking about, Old England? And I just want to say, Ted Johnson, man, you have the ability to adapt to whatever show you're covering on. I mean, you're funny. You talk about funny stuff in the morning. You'd be serious in the middays, in the afternoon. I mean, you are like A multi-tool. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, like a multi-tool bag.
A what?
Love you guys.
Hey, Stan.
See you, Dan. Okay. A couple things to address. It's a multi-tool bag.
Multi-tool
I like that. All right. I like that. Ted Johnson's the multi-tool bag of the Touch of Rich show. I will say this. That guy's the worst. The Kansas City. That's Bob Fesco. And we played a little bit of it yesterday. And I mean, just.
Is this not a new thing for him? Or is he always kind of crapped on Boston?
Oh, no. He is. Yeah. Okay. So I first heard of this guy when the Patriots were playing Kansas City. He's out of Kansas City. He's a talk show out there. He pulls, I think, something really close to a whopping, like, one share. but he got on the air, and he was the guy who, like, tried to rally up the troops when he talked about the disrespect that the Patriots fans were giving Kansas City, which, by the way, no one was. All the Patriots fans are like, dude, Kansas City's tough. It's going to be a tough game to win in Kansas City. But he was just like ripping on New England and
pompous mountains and Maine.
We had these pompous mountains in Maine. And, you know, he was saying, you know,
hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
Whoa! We didn't know we were dealing with a renegade, the bad boy of Kansas City. And so he goes off on this rant yesterday about how, like, everyone in Boston wants to be New York and how New York, like, will never acknowledge it. Like, how does one city acknowledge another one by saying, you know what, sir, you are indeed at our level? Like, do they put it in parchment and read it out in the middle of the street? Hear ye, hear ye. We are officially declaring Boston on the same level of intelligence as we are. Manny, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. Steak and eggs. Hey, Ted.
Yo.
Ted Johnson, you're doing an awesome job on the radio, man. Good
Thanks.
For you.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
And listen, who is this guy with the pompous mountains in old England? And what is this guy's deal?
Okay.
Seriously. He's talking about us not being how we kick everybody on our way to the top and nothing ever happens to us. Didn't we get fined for, like, Spygate and all that? This guy has no clue what he's talking about. And I just wanted to put that out there. He is a pompous ass. Bye, guys.
I don't even know what TB12-gate is.
No, there's no such thing.
Same thing. No, I was what did I miss? Did I miss something here?
If you could immediately write off anyone who has any kind of criticism of the city of Boston if they mention the words clam chowder. If they throw chowder out there, it's
the
like,
chowder heads are melting down and they're wondering why, you know, oh, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
Well, they did. I mean, beside the point. But I just, I mean, he's the best. And to be quite honest, he's so bad he's great. You know, it's like the way I kind of want to watch that John Travolta Gotti movie. Apparently, it's like one of the worst movies ever made. And every once in a while when I'm on Apple TV and I'm thinking about what I'm going to watch, like the finger almost clicks on it. But then I go, maybe it's not worth the $2.99. Maybe I'll wait till that sumbitch is on Netflix and I've already got it paid for. But
the New York thing, I think that's all the low-hanging fruit. The chowder, the thing that, you know, people think that we have a thing with New York. Do we have a thing with New York? Do we have it? No.
We don't.
Like when I lived in Houston, everybody used to think we have this inferiority complex when it came to Dallas. We don't care about Dallas. Boston doesn't. We don't care about New York. We got great restaurants. We have our own celebrities. We got our own vibe and charm and cool things going on here. We could care less about what's going on in New York.
There's a little how about them apples feel for it.
Yeah. Real quick. Nick, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, hey, I just wanted to, what is TB12-gate? What exactly is
that? I was thinking about, could it be the Edelman suspension? Could it be?
Oh, that is a reach.
Well, I mean, what else could it be?
But, okay, well, then.
There's nothing else.
Well, let's say it was. Let's say that's what he's saying. And he's saying, well, they've gotten away with everything. There was a suspension there.
Yeah.
Dude got suspended.
The Patriots were suspended for Spygate. They lost their best player for four games for Deflategate.
So this getting away with everything.
The NFL looked the other way on everything.
No. I mean, so the point he was making was 100% wrong. Like, all three things that he named, there were punishments. Like, getting away with everything and still was. No. Tom Brady was suspended for Deflategate. Unfairly, I think most people would agree. The Edelman thing, if you go to the TB12, okay, well, you got suspended. Fairly, if that's what happened. But, I mean, his whole entire point was completely and in every single way, shape, and form wrong. And then, of course, he has to come out there and be just straight up mean to us and mock us.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Listen, that hurts my feelings. I do not like to be pointed at and mocked. But that really grinds my gears.
And you know what that does? That grinds their gears.
Nice
so
1930s
bad.
Terms. I love that. And by the way, somebody pointed out, that's actually a segment that was on Family Guy.
Remember when Peter Griffin like had that segment on the news, like, what really grinds my gears today? Like, I was mocking him, right, saying we should do a bit called What Grinds My Gears, and apparently it's already been mocked by Family Guy. So this guy's really on top of things. It's Bob Fesco, everyone. He really likes it when our listeners contact him on Twitter, too.
Do you think it's...
really likes it.
No, he does because he's living in our dome.
Oh, well, that was his thing. That's
living
his,
in the dome.
He might have said 40 times the next morning after we were talking about that whole Kansas City rant. I was living in their dome.
We're living inside the dome.
I mean, he might... A.K.A. our kitchen? It's in our head.
He succeeded because he got the attention that he wanted.
Yeah. He got right there in the domes.
Real quick, you mentioned Travolta and how bad the Gotti movie is. There's a follow-up, and he's trying to beat the Gotti movie. This is a movie that went right to Amazon Prime.
Is it Speed Kills?
Yes. No. It's called Trading Paint. Ooh. He is a race car driver. He's a veteran race car driver. It's he and Shania Twain are the two leads in the movie.
Man.
And apparently the movie is already out. It just came out a couple of days ago, and you can watch it on Prime Video.
Oh.
Not even in the theater.
Shania Twain's acting debut?
Apparently, yes.
Oh, okay.
He's no Cole Trickle, man, I'm sure.
Well, who is?
Listen, right?
You know, no one is Robin's Cole
racing.
Is it,
but Robin's racing.
That's right.
Okay. Robin's racing.
You want to talk about like a movie that I know on paper, on script, is as cheesy as it gets.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Every time that comes on, dude.
You watch it, don't you?
Oh, yes. My God.
Every time.
Hell yes.
And the scene where Robert Duvall walks in and starts talking to the car.
Yes.
I'm going to make you fast.
This is not the answer I'm looking for.
It chills. And it's the stupidest thing. It's like the guy's talking to a car. I'm going to make you fast. Every single time, dude, it gets me. The only part of that movie that just like was completely ridiculous was Randy Quaid as like a serious badass. Like he was supposed to be like, okay, come on, dude, you're Uncle Eddie, and you'll always be Uncle Eddie for the rest of your life.
Harry, I know you're great. You know you're great. But if the guy in the car doesn't know you're great,
the dumbest dialogue in any movie. But I absolutely love movies, it.
It's on CMT almost every other day, and I'm like you. There's two movies. That if it's on, three movies that if they're on, I stop and we'll have to watch that. Days of Thunder, of course. Avatar, I have to watch. And like Last of the Mohicans, I have to watch.
Oh, Mohicans is great.
If it's on, I have to stop and watch it.
You see, Avatar is interesting because I contend that Avatar is, I think it's like the highest grossing movie of all time. It might have been knocked off, but it's top three at least. Mm-hmm. Highest grossing movie of all time. But I contend that almost nobody could name two characters from that film.
Avatar?
Yeah, like, okay, ooh. Indiana Jones is a huge movie, but you can name characters from Indiana Jones.
Star Wars,
obviously, you can name 10 characters from that. Harry Potter, you can name characters from that. Avatar made, like, more money, I think, than all of those films, and nobody can name one character from that movie.
That's so true.
I'm stuck
right now. I'm not sure I can name one myself.
How does that happen?
The tribe is the only thing I can name.
The Na'vi or something?
Yeah, that's it, the Na'vi.
And the only reason I know that is because I was at Disney, and they had a ride called the Na'vi River Journey.
Correct.
And I would have never known if it wasn't for that. Finally, real quick, and then we'll finally take a break. Bob, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
John Gotti is unquestionably a great bad movie. It's just so bad that it's brilliant. And all the gangster movies like The Godfather and Goodfellas have big wedding scenes.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has a wedding scene. John Gotti is supposed to be the most powerful mobster in the country. It's set at the Park Plaza in New York City, and there's like, I swear to God, there's like 20 extras.
Okay, so Bob, I heard that, first of all, it was directed by E from Entourage, all right? Like the guy who plays E from Entourage, and they said the reviews were that if somebody watched a bunch of mobster movies and tried to recreate them and did literally everything wrong in attempting to do so. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely. It's just so, you don't know who you're rooting for because he's not likable at all. Like, you know, Henry Hill was likable, and obviously all the Corleone family had some likability, but he's such a jerk right from the first scene that you can't stand. There's not one person movie that you root for.
Okay, now I got to see it. Now I have to see it. All right, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. All right, so, Ted, we got a lot to talk about this morning.
Yep.
I mean, first of all, there's two teams right now, and, like, the Celtics, you know what they are? They're like the super hot chick in like the 80s movie that everyone's fawning over at the beginning of the movie. Like, oh, she's got everything. She's beautiful. But then you start kind of learning about her past and she starts like making out with other dudes and she really starts grating on you, realizing, okay, maybe this thing is beautiful on the outside is garbage on the inside. And right here are the Bruins. And the Bruins are the girl that played the drums. It's always been there for you the entire time. And you were just looking the other way, looking at this shiny new thing right here. Oh, Kyrie, you're the best.
Is that some kind of wonderful reference?
You bet your ass it is. You bet your ass.
And some kind of wonderful.
And the Bruins are the chick that plays the drums who's always been there for you. And you realize, man, this is the one right here I should be paying attention to. Because she's doing everything right. And she is blowing your mind when you just turn and you look. She's always been there
for you. We've all made that mistake in our lives, man. We've all made that mistake.
So we will get to a tale of two teams. And, man, let's start with the Bruins because they deserve it. What a game last night. It had everything you want in a hockey game. We'll get to that right after this.
Someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. We got Teddy J in studio this morning, and the Bruins continue their absolute tear through the NHL.
Bergeron twists. He'll snap it to Marchand, who gloves it one on one. Cuts to the middle. Walks out in front. Back and he scores.
I saw Hags tweet this last night, and I couldn't agree more. Give me a Sharks-Bruins Stanley Cup final any day, because both matchups between the two this year have been some of the most entertaining hockey
full throttle
I have seen.
San Jose doesn't care.
Nope.
They don't care to play defense. They're like Loyola Marymount basketball back in the day. You know, we'll give up a chance at the other end, but we'll get three chances at our end.
Oh,
we don't care.
They've got attitude. Like, I mean, this, you're right. They never let up speed-wise at some of the faster games on ice, but the Bruins beat up on the Sharks last night 4-1 at the Garden.
They still have Joe Thornton. I was like, what?
That guy's
been around forever, right?
Yes, indeed.
20 years?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And this game had everything, including two new pieces in tow. Johansson playing on a wing on the second line, Coyle centering the third at the beginning of the game. But it was our guy who once again showed that the TNR bump is real.
Harlow trying to jam it ahead to Brusk. Creates a turnover. Powers through a check left to the net. Center fired. Dabrowski scores!
Jake to freaking Brusk, just fire since his slump-busting call to our show 2 weeks ago. Since then, he's had 6 goals in 7 games. And for a moment, it looked like he might have had 2 because, to the naked eye, I thought that he tipped that Krejci goal at the very beginning of
so
the game. So, you know, we'll say it's one with an asterisk.
No credit, by the way. He promised us. We got no credit.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't hear it.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
All right, we'll have to hang on for a second.
Oh, you mean after the game?
Yes.
As far as giving tea? Okay.
He gave us credit after the game? I must have missed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We will get to that in just a moment.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Listen, it's only like a massive, awesome news.
I was barely we care about focused last night.
All right, Captain
for a while there.
You had to switch over.
What is that called?
The return button is
the horse was. It's called last channel, but the horse was last out of the channel. Barn in the second half. That's true.
No, we'll get back to DeBrusque in a second. But it was a great game. Not only with shorthanded goals, great goaltending by Halak. He looked really good. But last night, Fight Night returned to Causeway Street. So, by the way, Dan O'Brien, our producer, was at the game last night, and he said that third period, the energy was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It really was. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was so good to see, because every shot, every break, partial breakaway, every, you know, the crowd was up and into it, and yeah.
And John's right. It's just two great brands of hockey playing each other, and it's one of the, as I said, both ones. And the last one was a 6-5 overtime shootout,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and I just remember the entire game being as fast as it gets. Well, this was a brawl that ended up happening that was brewing for a while before the gloves were even thrown off. Chara and Evander Kane, who can really fight, as we know, he's the one who took Matt Cook's head off.
Correct.
After the hit on Savard.
Yep.
He had been the two had been knocking each other around for two periods. As a matter of fact, earlier Kane had picked a fight with Sean Corrali.
Yeah.
And while they were throwing fists, Chara comes right up to like Kane and it starts yelling at him, as if to say, take me instead, let's go, which are words I never want to hear Zdeno Chara say to me. By the way, Ted Johnson versus Zdeno Chara. No,
Chara's got a longer reach, brother.
He's a little taller.
But he's a little taller.
But I imagine being one of those things where he punches you, and like in the movie when Colossus like gets hit in the stomach, like he just hit like grabs his hand like and you don't move. I could see that happening. But then a few minutes in the next period, we finally get our heavyweight bout called like no one other than Jack Edwards can do it.
David Pack is trying to chop it out of the zone. Oh, Chara drops Evander Kane. His head off like a bottle cap, measuring him, going ribs. Oh, what a hook! Kane's in trouble. Chara's just using his head as target practice. Had enough. Have a nice time in the box.
You know what's great about that is John Wong told me that the play-by-play from the dude from the Sharks is
it's a little different. It's a little different. It's kind of Kane-centric.
Oh, they're bitter. Like they're really bitter. We'll get to that. But I mean, Kane jumped Chara from behind and pulled him down, and Chara, like that scene from The Terminator when you think he's dead, just got right back up and beat the snot out of Evander. And any day you see a Chara fight is a good day. I mean, that was great. It's only the second of the season, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there was a third. I can only remember another one.
I think there's only two.
Well, yeah. We even had a nice little back-aside card, but nonetheless, the Bruins are becoming must-watch television, or must-listen radio, of course, with Judd Surratt. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
And you just don't know coming out of the road trip, right? You're right. And I thought, credit to the guys in the room, they were ready to play. On-time start. And we looked like we had our legs all night. Product of, like I said, probably a bit of the new blood, and just the way we've been playing lately, I think we've been real accountable to ourselves coming out of the gate, and it's allowed us to be in every game.
So Evander Kane was running his mouth afterwards, calling out Zdeno Chara for what he was calling cheap hits throughout the evening.
It was a hit right to my face, head, whatever you want to call it, clearly. I get up and look at the ref who's watching it from the corner, and he's standing there with his both arms down, and I'm absolutely stunned. If I'm going to be, officiated in a different way, what am I supposed to do outside defend myself? So I'm not going to sit there and take a direct shot right to the head.
So do you think it was a deliberate headshot? I mean, he is a pretty tall guy.
When I watch the replay, he looks like he elevates his shoulder into my head. I know he's a big boy. We've seen it throughout the league. And looks the exact same to me. That's a classic headshot.
I think they actually, the NHL's going to look at this.
Well, yeah.
You're
talking about the one directly before.
Before the fight. The one right before the fight.
Yeah.
Chara watches him. I mean, Chara is much bigger, and his shoulder does line up with Kane's head simply because they're just big. He's bigger, that much bigger on skates. But Chara looks at him coming, sees him coming, hunches the shoulder up. It looks like a headshot. I mean, the size may be the mitigating factor, but the NHL has to look at this because they're cracking down on hits like this, regardless of the size of the two players. I don't know. Chara might get a suspension out of this.
I
mean, I
don't know.
It's possible that this happens.
It depends. I mean, sometimes
Chara's not a
guilty
dirty player.
Heart.
You take into account the past of the player, but I think the NHL will review that, certainly.
Well, as for Jake DeBrusk, he had thoughts on Evander Kane picking a fight with Zdeno Chara, saying, quote, tough for Kane when you go up against Thanos like that. Chara is Thanos. I love it. Destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
Zdeno Chara. And speaking of Jake DeBrusk, he knows that our show is part of the reason he's been killing it ever since he's come on.
He said as much yesterday, I believe, right?
He knows the TNR bump is real. Want to know how I know?
Shout out to Touch and Rich as well. They'll kill me if I don't do this.
Oh!
And thank you, guys.
Hey!
Yeah. Hey! Promise. I did not know that.
About you
the
guys.
Best thing about that is immediately after he said it, he smiled with that tooth he got knocked out last night. Just like, he does this smile, and right there, right, is a big-ass gap from a freshly knocked out tooth. And
nothing
I'm
wrong
like,
with the gap.
Dude,
there's nothing wrong with it.
No, it is not, except his is actually where a tooth is supposed to be and not where, you know, your two teeth are supposed to meet. In the middle. But, I mean, just awesome. You know, the man, he has been absolutely on fire. On top of that, the official Bruins Twitter account yesterday tweeted out 6 goals in 7 games for Jake DeBrusk. Sup, Toucher and Rich. So good for DeBrusk, man.
Shout out to Toucher and Rich as well. They'll kill me if I don't do this. And thank you, guys.
We wouldn't have killed you.
Thanks, Jake, for cool. So, I mean,
just
our feelings would have been hurt, but we would have killed Jesse.
Sure, absolutely. Well, great stuff. I mean, the Bruins have scored points in 14 straight. Let's hope that train keeps rolling, because we have a big one tomorrow night with the first-place Tampa Bay Lightning, 7:30. The puck drops right here on 98.5 The Sports. So real quick, let's go to Jeff on line one. Jeff, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, Rich, there's this guy, a columnist out of San Jose named Brody Brazil, and he tweeted a video, and he said, this is why you don't mess with Evander Kane. He tweeted a video of Kane bringing down Chara and punching him, and then he cut it off right before Chara got up.
Yeah, you know what? I actually saw that. Somebody sent that to me last night, and, like, they're celebrating. First of all, even if, like, Zdeno Chara didn't kick his ass afterwards, you're celebrating a guy jumping someone from behind and pulling them down? Like, that's like the definition of cowardice.
The video I saw of NBC Sports California, where the Sharks games are called, The headline over the video says Kane ragdolls Chara.
Yeah. Oh God. No. No. He jumps on his back.
Yeah.
You know, like he wants to ride him around like it's, you know, some sort of amusement park, and he gets him onto the ground. And I'm telling you, it took 3 seconds for Zdeno Chara just to get right back up, and it wasn't even like a stumbling bubble. He just gets right back up, grabs him, and starts decking him right in the head. And you get hit by Zdeno Chara, I mean, you feel it. That was a ass kicking after he got taken to the ground. All right.
He's had a bad couple of games, Kane, right, against the Bruins. Because I guess he was the goat in the last time they met.
Yep.
And then last night, I was offsides on a 3-on-2.
He cost him a 3-on-1. Yeah.
That's right. So, yes. And then he got his ass kicked last night. So, yeah. Not good for this guy.
Well, we will continue to take your call, 617-779-0985. But we got to talk about also what happened last night with the Boston Celtics. I mean,
how you feeling?
It's tough.
How's this taste?
How you feeling, Rich?
It's tough.
Captain Sunshine 24 hours ago.
I don't think I want to watch any regular season Celtics anymore. Just start the postseason.
That's all they talk about.
Season ends 6 weeks from yesterday.
And you know how much I love watching the Celtics.
Yeah. Like,
you know, if I didn't have to do it for work, I would just take the month off. I would wait till the playoffs, because this is the most infuriating regular season I can remember ever. Since the big three were here, there has not been a regular season that was this just.
2010.
God, to be kidding me.
2010.
The end, but that was only the end of the season.
No, they were stumbling to the finish line, and Scalabrine came on and said, don't worry. That was infuriating because we saw how good they could be, and they were not playing well.
But that was a month. This has been since the beginning of the season. You're sitting there and on a regular basis pulling out your hair. Because they should not be pulling the crap they pulled last night. We will get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. It's Ed Johnson in studio. And so we just got done talking about the Bruins, which have just been, you got to watch what they're doing. I mean, they've had points in 14 straight games. They're playing the right way. They're playing hard. And then you flip over and tell me if you've heard this one before. The Celtics come out strong in the first quarter, absolutely implode in the second, then put in a failing attempt to catch up for the remainder of the game.
86-62 with 3:29 to go in the third. Whew. Going to be an ugly day on the talk shows tomorrow. Celtics will be glad to get back on the floor tomorrow night. Morris, shovel pass to the middle, and Robert Williams drops it. Ooh. Williams turns it over. Siakam goes the distance. Right-hand slam. Brad Stevens just watching.
I mean,
88-62.
What a crap fest. The Celtics look uninterested. They get blown up by the Raptors, 118-95. I said we've seen this story before, but up until last night, the Celtics have always risen to the occasion against good teams. That was like an idiot looking back now. I spent 15 minutes on that very fact yesterday. I'm like, don't worry about these dumb games like Chicago, all right? It's the regular season. We've seen it a million times before. These guys get bored. You save your energy. You just don't get up for it. But the one thing you could always rest your hat on is that
Against the big guys in the East, look what happened against Milwaukee. Listen, I don't think anyone had a problem with them losing by one in Milwaukee to the best team in the NBA. And they've done this time and time again. But last night on a nationally televised game against one of the better teams in the league, the Celtics embarrassed themselves and made us all once again question, who the hell are these guys? Once again, the C's give up, just like they did the game before, being outscored by 41 points in the second quarter over their last two games combined. How does that happen? It was like the second Kyrie and Jason Tatum took the bench, the Raptors rip off like an 18-0 run. However, it wasn't like the savior was sitting there watching. Kyrie ended the game with only 7 points.
Oh, he had a stinker, man.
Oh, without a doubt. And the second quarter was a calamity. So at one point, yeah. Jaylen Brown barreled over a guy in transition, leaving Marcus Smart wide open on the perimeter. And then Marcus Smart starts yelling at Jaylen Brown for taking the charging foul when he could have passed. But the worst might have been when Jason Tatum, with a chance to take the last shot before halftime, picked up an offensive foul of his own and then compounded it with a technical foul. And the best was that when you see Brad Stevens swear on television, you know that stuff has hit the fan. All right. So.
Now you know why Tatum got the technical.
He was throwing his arms.
No, he just like turned to the official and like waved him off. Like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, like
just,
right, he did one of those. Which,
and
by
the official teed him up because he made the official look bad. You know, and I kind of get it, but in a situation like that, okay. You really couldn't let that go.
Ticky tack foul, absolutely. Does Jason Tatum need to cut that crap out?
Yes.
Absolutely, and he does do that a decent amount. However, he's still young; he's learning. I get that, and I understand it. But I mean, when Brad Stevens is swearing on television,
you know something's wrong.
You know,
yeah,
something,
it's not good.
No, something is rotten. Well, over the last 7 games, they've been outscored by at least 15 points in 5 separate quarters. That is hard to even imagine. It was a 36-13 second quarter that turned into the Boston lead into a 21-point deficit. And I don't know. I mean, everything just started snowballing. They only hit 6 3-pointers. I mean, they were just over 35% from the field. No one can block the 3 anymore. What has happened with the perimeter defense? They got killed. I mean, I remember we looked back at that Lakers game and we were like, oh, they just got really hot. And now it seems to be a trend. You can do whatever you want from 3 against this Celtics team. No one's defending it the right way.
The other part of it is, if you want to look and see what we all thought the Celtics were going to be, take a look at Toronto. They are a very deep team. They're loaded with veterans off the bench, and they share the basketball without any ego. You know, okay, maybe tonight's not my night, but Pascal Siakam, you want to have a good month? You can score 20 points a game in the month of January. You know, okay. You know, Kawhi Leonard, we got some big games coming up. Why don't you take over? Marc Gasol comes off the bench for this team.
Yeah,
I mean, they are
great pickup.
Very deep. They don't care who scores. And Sean Grady said it the best in the last minute of the game. Last night was about 5 guys playing together against 5 guys who aren't playing together. There's real trouble here. And it you could see it after the game. You know, everyone goes to Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart says, you know what? We're not playing together, which is true. Yeah. They're not playing together. And so people go over to Kyrie Irving, who comes out of the shower after Marcus Smart. Said, Marcus Smart just said, we're not playing together. And Kyrie Irving says, that's his opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not right. Kyrie, you're wrong.
Kyrie's,
they're not playing together.
And I'll say this. And once again, Kyrie's one of these guys that, you know, last week I kind of, was the final straw with Kyrie. But now it's like he's just not a good leader.
He's
a bad leader.
They're not playing for him.
Nope.
And Danny Ainge is in the locker room after the game talking to him. I don't know about what. And we're going to have Ainge on tomorrow, correct?
Well, that's the first question I'm going to ask.
We got to ask Ainge about that. But there are a lot of warning signs with this Celtic team. The question is now, are they likable in any way, shape, or form? I don't know if they are by anybody. That's the problem.
The leader of this team last year. Who was the leader of this team last year when Kyrie was hurt?
Horford, more or less.
But it was probably Brad Stevens, right? I mean, he's kind of been the...
On the floor.
Marcus Smart, Brad Stevens, Jaylen Brown. It was really kind of a group thing.
Yeah. Horford was the guy, the silent leader who kind of settled things down.
Here's the problem. You have guys that, you know, Kyrie Irving is supposed to be the leader, but you have nobody likes the guy because... Honestly, I think a big part of it is because he's noncommittal on his future here. It's kind of like the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant issue that you had out in Golden State. He won't commit, so there's infighting. Everybody's worried about their future and the future of this team. I think you have the same kind of dynamic here. And then you have it with guys looking at Kyrie, like, are you in? Are you out? You're not in. And then you have a front office and a coaching staff that's kissing this guy's ass on top of it. And that creates issues. And here's the thing. And this was what we all thought at the beginning of the season. Brad Stevens is going to be judged on, can he manage these guys' egos, the expectations? This was a concern before the season.
Yeah.
With, 21 games left in the season, it's still a major concern. And these guys, and I don't know if Kyrie's just been in Cleveland so long with LeBron and seeing it firsthand that they can just – LeBron and those guys would just turn the switch on, would decide when they wanted to play hard and get serious about it. That's what Kyrie's mentality has kind of been this whole time. Wait for the playoffs. Here we go. Okay, you have done nothing in the regular season that gives anybody confidence, even guys on your own team, that you're going to be able to flip that switch when it comes
there
to
there are
stuff.
six weeks left in the regular season, Rich.
I still have faith that they're going to do well in the playoffs. Mm. However, this sucks. I hate the fact that I turn on the Celtics now and during the regular season, I know I'm not going to enjoy it. And you know what? I hate the fact that whatever's going on has infected all of these players who last year were doing everything right. And I know people use the term likable, and I think it's overused. But how about just my level of enjoyment watching this team? And it's gone into the toilet. Like after yesterday, and yesterday, to me... was the worst loss. That's because
it was definitely the worst.
As I said, I've written off all the other ones as being these games didn't really matter to them. You went on national TV against a team you got to prove something against, and you just didn't try. I mean, there were transition buckets that were done yesterday.
That Siakam dunk that you played.
Nobody even got back on defense.
That was bad.
And I'm like,
a free lane to the hoops for Siakam on that play.
So this is I mean, it's now at the point too where the way that Kyrie Irving's been handling things has been bad, and now it's an embarrassment. As a matter of fact, we'll take a quick break. But if you want all the evidence you need as to why Kyrie Irving is just doing this all wrong, I have his entire post game press conference that he did with the press. So as you said, John, when the press first walked into the locker room, Kyrie Irving was sitting there with Danny Ainge. In other words, they had been talking for a little bit, and I guess that's something that they never see. Danny Ainge in the locker room having a heart-to-heart with Kyrie Irving. Doors open up, and he speaks to the press, and just know that I'm going to play you the entire thing, and it ain't long. So we will get to that right after this.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
How are you?
Loud and clear. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Lowry lobs it in the left corner, waiting there. Jody Meeks for three.
Leo can shoot the basketball. Old man Meeks. Last thing says it goes is your ability to shoot the ball.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And, of course, it was just awful last night. It's tough to watch regular season Celtics now because I just don't know who they are. I don't get it. Last night was, for me...
They don't know who the hell they are, Rich.
I guess not. For me, it was the worst loss because I could justify almost all the other ones. And that was that, well, you know, these teams aren't that good that they're playing and they just don't get up for that. And my whole excuse was, look what they do against the great teams. They always play hard, and so you know you have it in them. On a nationally televised game, they go up against the Raptors, one of the best teams in the East, a team they're going to have to go through to do anything. And they just, they give up. I can't think
no
of
balls,
any other way to say
no
it.
No gumption. No heart.
That's right.
No, nothing.
By the way, be listening at 7 o'clock after Wallach's update for your chance to score a four-pack of passes for the Friday night session of Harpoon St. Patrick's Festival. Don't miss the Harpoon St. Patrick's Festival, March 8th through the 10th at Harpoon Brewery. For more info, go to harpoon.com. That's coming up in just a few. So, you know, we were talking about Kyrie, and where does he play into all of this and how things have changed? Because last year, I mean, what was their calling card? Is that it didn't matter what night it was, it doesn't matter who they were playing, they gave 100%. I mean, and everyone gave Brad Stevens tons of credit for that. You put together these guys, and I mean, look what they did in the playoffs. I mean, a bunch of no-names in the playoffs end up going 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals, 1 win away against LeBron James, 1 win away.
1 half away.
You're essentially right. 1 half away from making it to the finals. So what has changed? So reports came in yesterday that when the locker room opened,
Kyrie Irving was sitting next to Danny Ainge and having a conversation in front of his locker, which, once again, according to people who cover the team, they said that's very rare that anything like that happens. Once again, I believe that that will be the first question that I asked Danny Ainge about. Mm-hmm. What were you guys discussing? He had his second lowest scoring output of the season, just 7 points. He was 3-for-10 shooting. And after...
bad shots. Just a lot of really bad shots he took.
Absolutely. Bad shots. So he turns to the media. And here was the Kyrie Irving press conference in his entirety.
Seems like lately when teams hit you guys with a big run, you haven't responded. What is behind that?
I know.
Can you talk about the lessons you want to take away from this game? Is there anything specific you really want to focus on for tomorrow?
Remaining tough.
Brad talked about just defensively, guys been taking shortcuts. So do you see that, and how do you guys fix things like that at this point in the season, you feel like?
I don't know. It's up to Brett.
Marcus said that you guys aren't playing together. Is that a fair diagnosis?
I mean, as Marcus is a pain. So
is it yours?
Respect it.
Okay, so that last part, he goes, is it yours? And apparently Kyrie just looked at, like, just stared at him in silence and walked away. And that was the end of the press conference. Hey, at least he didn't, well, I was about to say, at least he didn't throw any other player under the bus, but that last clip, he kind of did. I mean, with the Marcus Smart one. Mm. Marcus said that you guys aren't playing together. Is that a fair diagnosis? Kyrie Irving says, that's Marcus's opinion. I respect it. And the question was, is it yours? And he was silent, and that was the end of the press conference.
That was the end of it.
What do we do with Kyrie Irving?
If he had just said, yes, we're not playing together, it's something we have to fix, the playoffs are right around the corner, and we got to take care of this now, that's it. If you want to be the leader, you got to out your players after a bad performance like that.
I mean, he's just tired of the question. I think he's just tired of being on this team. I mean, I just think he's tired of the whole thing. I think he's got his mind and is already, and his heart is somewhere else. And that's the way it feels. Like, he is not fully committed to what's going on here, and in the way he plays, the way he acts, the way he leads, nothing lends you to think that this guy is committed to this team long term. And so he's checked out in the short term. That's what it appears like to me, that this guy just isn't buying in, because he's already got 1 foot out the door. That's the way it appears from my vantage point. And that's scary. And that's scary. I mean, when you have a guy that doesn't seem like he's all in on the leader, the guy, you know, the superstar, then everybody takes their cues from that guy.
I can't believe I'm saying this, and I don't even know if I believe it yet, but I mean, there's just too much evidence piling up that, once again, it's the regular season, so this is kind of wildly unfair, but there's too much evidence that's piling up that says that maybe, just maybe, this team is better without Kyrie Irving. I know he's a closer, and the team needs a closer. But, I mean, the last six games they play without Kyrie in the lineup, and there were three of them were playoff teams, including a road win with the team ahead of the – they won.
Mm-hmm.
They won. Kyrie Irving comes back, and stuff like this happens. Now, I'm not putting this all on Kyrie, because, once again, that's completely unfair. But do you really need stuff like that in the locker room? Like, you haven't heard – for years, even when, like, all the people who hated Rondo and thought he had an attitude, when he played under Brad Stevens, dude was a good soldier. The guy had the right attitude, said all the right things. Matter of fact, I don't remember a case of anybody making you even raise an eyebrow since Brad Stevens took over. And then this happens, and you have these two factions that obviously are fighting against each other. A group of young guys who... Who the hell do you think you are, Kyrie? We got to the Eastern Conference Finals without you. And then Kyrie coming in, all of a sudden saying, all right, well, I'm LeBron James, and acting like LeBron James Jr. I just think that there's resentment. Maybe there's players who believe they, just in a pure basketball side of things, have to concede to Kyrie Irving to be the playmaker instead of taking the damn ball and making a play on their own. Don't you sense a little bit of that as well?
But they've made him feel like he's... I mean, look, they've been powered Kyrie.
It's like
of course the players are going to feel like that's... When we talk about Kyrie Irving, the two things that come up the most whenever we talk about, is this team better or worse without Kyrie Irving, is the two things that you mentioned about Kyrie Irving are always, Well, you need him at crunch time. You need somebody to take over the game at the end of the games and in the playoffs. So his biggest value to this team, it seems like for most people, is the end of games and playoff time. So everything in between, he's not as important. That's the kind of the feeling that we have when it comes to Kyrie. But all these regular season games that you've been seeing him play in, he's not even playing at a level that you would think he can do it in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, the other day he scored like almost 40, right? I mean, he went off, but
didn't get a lot of help.
It didn't get a lot of help. But that's the other thing is that whenever he like goes off, the team doesn't win. It's like,
right.
I've got a list of things, and it was funny. I read a bunch of articles about this last night, and there's a list of things, and there's evidence that's just mounting that maybe, just maybe, you accept that this team might be better off without Kyrie Irving.
So what are you suggesting?
We'll get to that. Okay, so no commercials, just the headlines.
That's a big market
tease. Take your call,
dude.
It's the biggest damn tease because I'm the king of big market teases. 617-779-0985. Right after John Wong's headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.